Greetings, and thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like to be a part of our listener club, you can email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com and look forward to hearing your name on the air. That's disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Hello, Charlene.
Good afternoon, everyone.
The sun is out and it is getting good for Minnesota. We're starting to unbury ourselves. This week, we have an awesome set here. This week, we'll be discussing Metro State University's hosting of an afternoon of poetry and conversation. April, apparently, is National Poetry Month. So joining us, we have Associate Professor of Fine Arts, Suzanne Nielsen, and publisher, Bello Miguel Cipriani. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate that. I wanted to finish off by saying we will be talking about Professor Nielsen's book, her new poetry book, Face Up, a collection of outlaw poems. So this will be interesting to talk about this, Suzanne. Can you start out for me by telling us a little bit of history about you and your path to writing?
Sure. It would take a long time because I'm old.
You can condense it.
When I graduated from Metro State with an undergraduate degree, I was one of the first people to graduate with a writing degree. They didn't have a creative writing degree at the time. And then I went on to grad school and did that and came into teaching. I didn't expect to be a writing teacher. I expected to always write, which is something I've always done. And I landed it by happenstance and I love it.
Excellent. Thank you. Bello, it's your turn now. talk about, you weren't always a publisher, will you? You have an interesting path as well.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of dabbled into different forms of writing. You know, I was a journalist for a while, and I worked on radio, and then I started teaching, and got this opportunity to start this publishing house through a grant, and you know, one thing led to another, and you know, a couple of years later, we're a micro press based out of Minneapolis that publishes the work of writers with disabilities, and you know, this is our third book, and we're releasing two more later this year. And so yeah, I'm, you know, similar to Suzanne, where you know, my goal was just to write, and it just opened up with these other opportunities.
And didn't you do stuff in Silicon Valley or something? Or were you a tech person before?
I was, and I, you know, that's, you know, I'm a millennial, so I have like 10 jobs. But I worked in high tech for a while, and I do have my, I have a digital accessibility firm. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, accessibility audits, and we do a lot of training. And so that's, you know, about half my time. And then the rest is spent with the press.
Excellent. So I'll touch on it again at the end, but I'd like to briefly announce the poetry event that's coming up this Tuesday, I believe, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Bello, do you want to go or?
Sure. So we, Olip Books, partnered up with Metro State to celebrate National Poetry Month, which is April, and we're doing an event next Tuesday, April 11th, in the school auditorium in St. Paul, but people can also stream live, so you could still check it out.
Excellent.
And you'll be able to get the information if you go to metrostate.edu, look at our events page, and it's Face Up, an evening of poetry, and then people could get the Zoom link there.
Does it cost?
It's everything's free, and we're, you know, offering ASL interpretation and captioning, and we have Metro State has a very robust accessibility program, so we're counting on their support.
Excellent. All right. Well, good luck with that. How long will it last?
We have it scheduled from 4:30 to 6:30, but there's intermissions. We're starting with couple readings from different poets, from local poets who are kind of speaking to the theme of facing up to something, and
Right.
we're going to have a discussion panel, and we're going to be giving away some prizes as well from all the books. And so we're hoping that people could just stop in for as long or as little as they can.
Excellent. Suzanne, I wanted to talk that it's an interesting title called Face Up, which could mean a number of things. Talk a little bit about that meaning of that title to you.
I think the meaning of the title to me is it's kind of my mantra for poetry. It's my poetry are snippets of life. They're usually about things related to facing up to something.
Yes, a little bit dark.
With some humor interspersed, but yeah.
Yes, I found it very interesting, and I like to say when people have told me I'm a cynic, I said, no, I'm a realist. And I think that's it puts a lot of things in perspective. I feel like there's a lot of conversational pieces there that talk about some pretty heavy things. And I think it's just kind of puts them out there on the table. Bella, I wanted to go
And
ahead.
oh, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, and it puts them out on the table, but they don't, they, I mean, they're quick.
Yes, that's right. Little snippets, quick things. And I think, is there a reason why they're shorter as opposed to kind of lengthening them out? Did you feel like it kind of gives people a little perspective to like step back and think about what did she just say?
That's a very good question. I think I am a minimalist when it comes to writing, and I really sort of gravitate toward things that can be told in 500 words or less. And with poetry, for me, the less the better, because it makes me be brave.
Yes. You kind of have to say things, quickly and to the point so people get what you're doing. Bella, I'm curious to your adjustment because you have a visual impairment. Your adjustment to, and you haven't always been blind, so your adjustment to editing and publishing as somebody that has a visual impairment is, can you talk a little bit about the adjustment? Was there a lot or not too bad?
I think that, for when I was in grad school getting my master's in creative writing, there's, opportunities to do internships, and a lot of presses would come by and, interview our grad students for internships. And at that time, I remember thinking, I don't think I could do that because, designing book covers and book layout, and those things are so visual. I didn't think I could do that. And then when I said that, the people around me kind of just confirmed that, yeah, I think you're right, Bello. And it wasn't until I got into, doing the accessibility work that I figured out how to use, some tools, to the point where that I designed the book cover for Face Up.
Right. And I was wondering, you had vision before, so don't you feel that maybe that has helped, as opposed to somebody who never had vision? Like you kind of have a
Oh,
leg up.
absolutely. I mean, I worked in Silicon Valley and I did a lot of design work. I mean, I was working with Adobe and, some of the other design tools like Freehand and PageMill, like, back in the 90s. And so I definitely had a good sense of design. I think for me as a blind person, I had the misconception that I couldn't lead sighted people in a visual project, but that, as it proved with our all the books website and our book covers, I'm able to direct and deliver a product. So it's something that I want to really, talk about with other people is, there might be some way, different way of getting people to help you create something. It doesn't mean that you're a less part of it. You're still a contributor in some way.
Right. Suzanne, you have many poems in this book titled Face Up. Do you have a favorite? And why, if you do?
I guess I have a favorite of the day, maybe.
What's today's favorite?
I looked through here and I think today's favorite goes with Moon Glow.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that one?
How about if I just read it?
Okay.
Would that be okay?
That'd be great.
Moon Glow. She said she wanted to return to that special place she visited so long ago, where the giraffe spoke French and the dolphin sang bitter blues to a keyboard playing in the background, and where she remembered once on a still night the phosphorescence danced in response to her lead. But how to get back? Where is there? Follow the stars falling across the moon.
So tell me a little bit about that piece.
I think all my pieces stem from an image that stays with me, a saying, a moment in time that stays with me. And I think this was in response to returning from a trip to the ocean, wondering.
Yes, those can be very thought-provoking.
Yes.
How long did it take you to put together this book?
Oh boy, Bello, how long did it take? Bello and I worked very closely on this collection, and when we first started it, we had intended it to lean sort of somewhere else, and it leaned into this, and there were many new snippets that came to me during the process of writing this. And I tried to think of themes or an overall theme, but I really got a lot of help from Bello. I really, like Bello would say to me something like, what do you think about a baby's fist for the cover? And what do you think about like some images of it like pow, bam, bang, like in cartoon where you have that shattered image, with that word. And or he'd say something to me like, what's the weather like in Minnesota?
Yeah, but you might
You
want
know,
to
I mean,
add.
he would get me started, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's the little engine that could. May I
Well,
jump right in here for a
yes,
second?
absolutely.
Something as somebody who was, I had a literary agent and I was submitting in for, my books to different projects. As a person with a disability, I often had a hard time meeting my deadlines, because of, accessibility issues, equipment not working. Sometimes because as a blind person, it just takes me longer to do certain things. And I had a really hard time meeting publishing deadlines. And I had a couple of publishers drop me because I was not meeting deadlines. And so when I with all the books, I really wanna not be have deadlines be anything that causes stress. And so, which it's very individual. So with Suzanne, we kind of talked a lot and just let the process kind of unfold on its own. So I would say it, you know, once her manuscript was selected as the winner of the Olet Books Poetry Prize, but once it came in and we started doing the developmental editing, I would say it was between 6 to 9 months of just taking our time with each piece and really reflecting, you know, not feeling rushed or having those deadlines of having to launch and, you know, sell, sell, sell. And, you know, our approach was just really to allow, you know, the writer, the artist, Suzanne in this case, to really take her time and put something out there that she's comfortable with.
Bella, if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about Ola Books because you're kind of young in your youth as far as with this book publishing company. Is that not correct?
That's true. We're actually turning 5
Oh,
this month in April.
congratulations.
And so within the publishing world, we're babies.
Yes, that's
But
right.
I'm really excited, you know, where I'm really hoping to, you know, make writing for writers with disability more accessible. So in addition to publishing books, we're going to be launching writing courses. In the near future, people could take, you know, some writing courses live or asynchronous at their own pace. And we're really hoping to then introduce some coaching sessions. I really want to make the publishing world more accessible. And so that's where we're kind of gearing. So we're excited about our growth.
And will your writing courses be like for the average person, or will you be aiming them towards the person who aims to write? Like,
I'm going to
I
have
understand.
so.
I guess I asked that wrong. I mean, everyone, you know, a lot of people want to dabble in writing, or are you looking for more professionals?
You know, so we're going to have, it's going to be set to specific themes and specific types of genre writing. And so, for instance, we're going to have like a course just on what's called braiding essays, where two themes braid together to make one essay. Or we're going to have one on narrative poetry, or one just on science fiction, one just on young adults. So they're going to be hyper focus on a theme or a genre, and I'm hoping that, you know, that gives people the ability to come in and, you know, get what they need and, you know, and move around as according to what their needs are.
I'm really happy to see that you're publishing books for people with disabilities. Is this, I feel like I've seen more publishing come up like this. Is it, you think that all of a sudden now it's just people are getting the wind under the wings and thinking, I can do this and I can find somebody who will actually publish my work? Or are you still feeling like you're one of the few publishers out there?
Well, I'm definitely, you know, not the only one. There's other presses, you know, throughout the country, throughout the U.S. that I'm, you know, I work with and collaborate with. You know, I'm all about community of practice. I feel that people are writers with disability. Maybe it's because of social media or the web, how things are growing and connecting us, that they're more adventure. You know, we're willing to put ourselves out there and reach out and do research. And I think it's just really technology that's helped us really be able to, you know, reach for our writing goals.
Suzanne, what was your hardest poem to kind of write and put together in this book?
I think face up.
Ah. And can I, is this face up, is it about you?
It is,
Wow.
yes.
I'm presuming that you are the third daughter.
Yes.
Would you be willing to read it?
Sure. Face up. I see on Facebook that my birth mother has died. I look at her photo, the size of a postage stamp, and there in the background are several of her adult children. Nothing alphabetically chronological in names, more of a focus on birth order. I slip back 40 years, and there I am in the middle of a snowstorm. My wiper blades have no protection. Metal on glass, fighting metal on ice. I need to get to where I'm going, so I drive peering through little 2020 slits in the window shield, determined to find her, them, the family that was left behind. Their neighbors insist I ran away. Others were told I was institutionalized. Still, others were suspicious, but kept to themselves. I was 3 at the time. My God, 60 years ago. There stands a woman on the corner of Cedar and 7th smoking, nothing covering her head, her hands chapped, I see. She speaks in a low growl, asks me if I am she, the girl that got away. Before I answer, she pulls out of her pocket an overworked billfold, opening it, and headshots of strangers litter the pavement, some curious enough to land face first. These are my children, she says. I think we are playing gin rummy, trying to match faces in pairs. Some are duplicates, she says. She bends over, stands wide, and gathers her collection, rambling rampantly. Kathy, Anita, Phyllis, Evelyn, Lawrence, and Amy. Those are your sisters and brother. That's your family. Now we have to find Michael. You look good. Are your mom and dad good to you? I stopped her at that point. I saw where this was going. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, far away, removed. I see on Facebook that my birth mother has died. I look at her photo the size of a postage stamp, and there in the background are several of her adult children. Nothing alphabetically chronological in names, more of a focus on birth order. Or not. Skipping the oldest, skipping the third child, yet keeping duplicates like wild cards, keeping things orderly, keeping the curious at bay.
Thank you. That's so sad. That must have been a very difficult one to write.
That one took me a while, Sam. Yeah.
I believe it. Presumably the oldest was your brother?
Yes.
Who had maybe a disability as well?
Yes.
Ah, okay, I see where this is going. Just like you did. Wow, that's pretty strong. That is pretty strong. I'm kind of, I mean, I got the feeling when I read it, and it really spoke to me of, I feel, having known many people with disabilities as I was growing up, that this is not unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet the ones who have their families intact, who have disabilities, are often fairly lucky, but there are so many who don't. Yes. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you, Bello, about, I know you designed the cover of the book. You had that idea and helped design it. How hard was that? There were fonts, I think, that you had to introduce yourself to, right?
Yes. So, you know, my visual memory is, you know, a little outdated. You know, my memory is maybe, as far as my design experience goes, back to like the late 90s, early 2000s. And so when I started to attempt to design the book covers for Suzanne's book, I was looking at the different font styles, and there was these fonts that I had in my memory, that, because I know what they look like, and I remember the designer was saying that that doesn't exist anymore, and I was thinking like, oh, crap. You know, and there's all these new fonts with very campy names, and I just really relied on people describing them, and you know, having the accessibility background, looking at something that, you know, was, you know, be accessible to a wide, group of people. And yeah, no, it was definitely a lot of rediscovering some elements of design for sure.
Was it difficult to wrap your head around, or did you kind of get the idea? Because, I mean, how did you wrap your head around what they actually looked like?
So I had a couple different people, so it was almost like design by committee. I had different people describe things to me, which, someone who's blind, I tend to do that. I ask the same question to three people, and based on the feedback, I like, do an analysis. Okay, if two people said this is probably what it really is.
Yes. Yeah, I think we've all been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly,
Oh,
right.
yeah.
And so there was definitely a lot of that design by committee, but I feel that, I allowed myself, not to limit myself. I mean, I think in the past, anytime something design related, I would just completely outsource it and just say, I trust you could see, let's just call it a day. I think that this is probably the first time where I was involved in every single step. And, I just feel very lucky that through this process, I started, doing things. I started painting again, and I started, reaching back into that part that had been dormant for, for decades, for over a decade. And I think that, this was, a very therapeutic process for me.
Help get your confidence back in this realm.
Absolutely.
Suzanne, I understand that Face Up is the winner of the 2021 Ola Books Poetry Prize. So, congratulations there.
Thank you.
How did you feel when you got that?
Well, I felt great.
This certainly isn't your first book that you've written, right? You have others.
This is not my first book. No. I was shocked that I won the prize because it was some tough competition, I'm sure. And I felt very, very honored. This was a joint effort. I got a lot of help from Bello.
I really feel like that this particular book, Face Up, has such a breadth of, I mean, the different topics in there, there's a lot. And I think that keeps the person really interested. It's not just one topic. There's it goes everywhere. So I feel like
Yes.
that's kind of a all-encompassing. Like if you want to find something deep, you can find it. If you want to find something kind of light, you can find it. If you want to find serious, there's a lot of that. Maybe some humor too.
Yeah.
As a teacher, do you feel like writing has changed in the last, let's say, 40 years? And how do you think it's changed? Because it feels like it's different to me now.
I think it's different in certain ways that are real obvious, such as the internet, and things like that. I think it's different. I guess there's a lot more sci-fi than I than or
That's true.
I think maybe things have changed in the last 40 years, maybe a little bit. I'm not sure that the soul of a writing student has changed that much.
I was just thinking too, like the language part even. You know, there's different words than we ever used to use, some
Sure.
of the slang and things like that. It must be interesting as a teacher to kind of keep up with that.
Yeah, it I think when students work with I work with a great colleague, and when students work with the two of us, which is who they most work mostly with, it's they're focused. They're really focused. And that makes the teaching, I think, all that much more fulfilling.
Bello, where did the title Olib Books come from?
Olip is my name in reverse.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. There's a dumb moment there.
No. No,
Oh, funny. I didn't even think of that. That's
and
great.
so I put my company together very quickly. Like I said, I had a grant and there is a project looming, and I didn't wanted something interesting and unique,
Oh, that
but I
certainly
was
is.
kind of so I was inspired by Oprah, so I totally copied Harpo Productions. But
Ah.
that was the inspiration there. But yeah, no, it's my name, and it's worked out because that's kind of been my brand. That's the name of my other
Yeah.
company is Olib Media, and then we're going to be launching Olib Academy pretty soon. And so just kind of I just ran with it and it's working.
So, how many people are you getting that submit their stuff to you? Like, are you getting a ton or?
We're getting quite a bit for Suzanne's book. She was chosen from a pool of 409 submissions.
Cool. So how much, I mean, obviously, are there a lot of people submitting their writing to you?
There are, and that's one of the reasons why I want to, start finding different ways of publishing people that's not really a book. Like I'm really hoping, through the sale of our courses that we could afford to pay people to publish them on our blogs. I'm really big on paying people, especially, people who are artists. And so that's kind
Right.
of the goal for me, when we're launching these courses is another way to get revenue is just to pay it forward. And that's my goal for these courses is to be able to pay the writers to publish them on our blog and find different ways to get their work visible, to get them, an audience and more visibility.
And Suzanne, what can we look forward to? Do you have any more, is anything sitting thinking that you're going to come out with next?
Well, this semester I've been on sabbatical, and on January 1st, I started writing 70 poems for 70 days. And I did it where there were quite a few students that took on the challenge with me. And that was encouraging, I think, for all of us. And my goal with that was equal health care for men and women. And so my focus was on equality, bullies,
Yes.
abortion, different things. So what I started off really with a strong leaning toward focusing on abortion because many decades ago I was an abortion counselor at Meadowbrook and I had this experience and I was really quite appalled when the Supreme Court played a game on us. And so yeah, I was very motivated to focus on abortion. About 40 days into it, I couldn't do it anymore. It was just too intense. So I started to lean toward another version, but a little bit more focused on bullying in general.
Okay.
And so that's what I've been working on is a collection of poems about bullies
And are
and
this
how it's really not all that bullyish to be a bully.
and would this be like online bullying, everyday bullying in the,
This, yeah, it's again, Sam, sort of a collection of snippets.
Ah, okay.
Things that I've seen, heard, felt, tried to get rid of.
Right.
Those situations that all of a sudden you go, bully, oh, I remember.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or I remember watching, or I remember hearing. So it's kind of sort of steered more into about bullyhood and how icky it is. Isn't that a great word, icky?
It is a pretty good word.
That sounds very interesting. It's really, bullying is, it's gotten out, the epidemic. And
Yes, absolutely.
well,
Yes.
and it's and even in the whole political arena, so it's just sad that there's just no one that's seems to be clean of it. We are speaking with Bello Cipriani, who's a publicist, publisher. Not sure how you want me to say that, but and also we are also speaking with Professor Suzanne, who is a writer and many different things apparently. And we're talking about her book called Face Up, a book of poetry, outlaw poetry. How do you say that? Tell me where you got that latter part of the whole outlaw poetry stuff.
I think it came, Sam, from sort of a collection of places. One that I can grab hold of off the top of my head is being told that you're from the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh.
And the other thing is, I think facing up, it's you have to be a little bit of an outlaw to follow that theme.
Yes, I'm sure there's lots of pressure to like fall in line.
Yes, absolutely. And everybody knows I do that so well.
If you, what would you like the average person who picks up this book to take from it?
What I would like the average person to take from the book is that poetry is a story. A poem is a story. And I think it's important for people to understand that everyday language can be used in poetry. Sometimes people think that there's magical words to use in poetry, or that things have to rhyme, or that
That's true. There's
the
lots of different kinds of poetry.
yes, or it has to be a certain format. And I respect all of that, but that's not the poetry I write. The poetry I write, again, is something that I see very vividly inside my head, and then I'm able to put it on words when I'm ready.
So, I would like you to, if you would, give us that information again on how people can attend the event that's coming up this Tuesday.
I'll jump right in.
Okay.
So next Tuesday, starting at 4:30 p.m. At Metro State at the main auditorium in St. Paul, it's on Maria Street. People can join us in hearing a bunch of local poets read from their work about their experiences with facing up, and then we'll have a panel and we'll give prizes. And Suzanne would, sign your copy of her book, and there'll be book sales as well. But people may also join us virtually It'll be streamed live and it'll be fully accessible. And people could get that link by going to metrostate.edu, look at our events page, and then you'll see the posting for the Face Up event, and you could grab the Zoom link there.
That's great. So they can truly come in from all over the place.
Exactly.
Suzanne, how can people, besides attending the event, get your book?
They can get it at olabooks.com. They can also get it on Amazon.
Just so people know, Olab, OLEB, books.
Thank you. Yes,
That's okay.
yes.
That's why I'm here. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and I wish you the best of luck with that book. Do you want to read another poem before you go? I'll
You
let you
know,
choose.
I'm going to read Shattered.
Ah, I think I mentioned that one to you. Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Shattered. She walks with an accent, favoring her right side, but not enough to grieve equilibrium, not enough to complain at work where she lines the books with clues to the culprit. On Wednesday, the color escapes her face as the books on 17A are boxed and burned. It doesn't prevent her from color coding future clues. Once the code is broken, she will need a new gate, another lift, so to speak, before moving down to the river and abruptly skipping stones. Water ought never be interpreted as glass.
Thank you. Anything
Thank
you'd like to
you.
say about that?
I again, I'm very drawn to water. And I'm also very drawn to nature. And I believe I drafted that one at the Arboretum. But yeah, I guess I don't really want to say a lot about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not
That'll
because I don't like you, Sam. It's just
I never thought anything as such. Bella, is there anything more you'd like to leave us with? I wish you good luck in this publishing stuff, and it sounds like maybe you'll be designing more book covers.
Yes.
Definitely. We have a newsletter. It's called the D-Lit newsletter. And if people go to olabooks.com/newsletter, they could sign up for it. And that's really the best way to keep in touch with our con. We have writing contests. We'll have our classes coming up and all the events that we do. And we, if they want to stay in touch and see what's coming up, the newsletter will be the way to go.
And Bella, are you still here, or are you, have you moved somewhere else?
Oh no, I'm still in Minneapolis, so I'm here, and I'll be at Metro State next Tuesday. If people want to come and say hello, I
Excellent.
have a new guide dog, so people will get to meet the new guide
Aw.
dog.
Aw. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and good luck with the event at Metro State next Tuesday. And take care, and if there's anything else you want to leave us with.
Thank you very much for having us on, Sam.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Sam. I'm a listener, so I'm
Oh,
gushing a little bit
thank
'cause I'm just happy
you.
to be here with
Yes.
you, but I'm a listener and
Well,
congratulations. I love your work.
thank you. I appreciate that. I hope that you'll be coming on again with your next author, next writer.
You bet on it.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Good night, you guys.
Good
Good
night.
night.
Thank you.
Well, Charlene, thank you for coming on tonight with me, and it's fun. It's fun. I like being in the studio. It was a long time when we were all in COVID time.
Yeah. It's still getting, it's almost like learning how to walk again, so.
So we always appreciate you listeners, and if I hadn't said it, I want to say it again. Thank you for, we had a pledge drive not too long ago. Thank you for all that pledge to this station at KFAI. Is that's how we bring you our show, and it gets podcasted Thank you, Aaron, by the way. But this is how we come in and do it. So we thank you for the pledge, and you can pledge anytime, actually. But especially during pledge time, thank you. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. My name is Sam, and if you want to be on our show or have a suggestion for the show, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com, and then I'll probably hand you to Charlene, who will harass you for all your information and to come on the show. Or I'll put you in our listener club. So either way, and you'll get great emails each week on, like the one I didn't send out this week. But I have it in my outbox, so I'll send it in after that. So you'll see who was on tonight. But
yeah, and you can catch it on the podcast.
That's true.
Or
the archive.
Or the archives for 2 weeks, yeah.
Well, this show will be archived for 2 weeks. And then, of course, trusty Aaron will be podcasting it, so it'll be there forever. Okay, so thank you, and thanks for listening. This has been Disability in Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFEI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm then the host of this show and the producer. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Aaron is my podcaster. This week, we were discussing the Metro States University's hosting of an afternoon of poetry and conversation. April is National Poetry Month. And joining us was Associate Professor of Fine Arts, Suzanne Nielsen, and publisher Bello Miguel Cipriani. We were talking about her new book, Face Up, a collection of outlaw poems. This is Sam, and I hope you're having a great night. Thanks for listening. Good night.
KFAI.org.